Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the Lord's Supper, Meditations for Disciples. And this is Lesson 3, Being Sharers in the Sacrifice, taken from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and verse 18. Let me begin by reading this whole passage in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 through 22, so you can see it in context. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 22. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we ask You that You would help us to understand what Paul is saying here to us. Teach us what it means to be participants and sharers in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Those who dismiss the elements of the Lord's Supper as mere symbols haven't reckoned with this important passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Church members were tempted to participate in sacrifices to various Greek and Roman gods. Paul argues that to take part in such a sacrifice is to become sharers, that is, closely identified with those sacrificed too. In this case, demons that are the spiritual reality behind these false gods. Discussion question 1. Why was Paul exhorting the Corinthians about the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons? What was going on in the church? What was the danger to the believers? As we study Paul's argument, we see a startling truth about the Lord's Supper. Let me read verse 16 again. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? One word stands out because it is repeated again and again. The Greek word koinonia, here translated participation, also translated communion in the King James Version, or sharing in the New Revised Standard Version. It means sharing something in common with others. The root koine means common, in contrast to private or sacred. Common ground, common pasture land, communal property, a couple's community property. When it refers to people, it means participants, fellows. The idea is that which is shared in common with others. Paul uses this word koinonia to describe the believer's relationship to the blood of Christ and to the body of Christ, that is, the sacrifice of Christ for us. We are sharers in the sacrifice of Christ for us. How can we also share in pagan sacrifices? That is Paul's argument here. But it is worthy of meditation to consider yourself as having a share in, or perhaps a claim upon, the blood of Christ shed for you and for all your Christian brothers and sisters. You are a shareholder in the cross. In a sense, you are a participant and sharer in this sacrifice made for you. Dwell on that, and it will touch you to the center of your soul. Discussion question 2. What does koinonia mean? What does it mean to participate or share in the blood of Christ? Now Paul gives an illustration of his point from the sacrificial practice of the Old Testament priesthood. Consider the people of Israel, he said. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate, koinonos, in the altar? Verse 18. The noun koinonos in verse 18 means one who takes part with someone, companion, partner, sharer. Paul is referring here to the practice of the priesthood to eat a portion of the sacrifices brought to the tabernacle or temple. A portion was eaten by the priests, and a portion was burned on the altar. In the case of a fellowship offering, a portion was also eaten by the offerer and his family. The meat from these sacrifices, along with the tithe, provided food for the priests and their families, Leviticus 10, verses 12 through 15. But the priests' eating of the sacrifice was more than for food, as we see from the incident when Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu were slain by God for making unrighteous offerings. Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, was in deep mourning and neglected to eat the sin offering as was required by the law, Leviticus 6:26. When Moses found out, he was angry. Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area? It is most holy. It was given to you to take away the guilt of the community by making atonement for them before the Lord, Leviticus 10:17. In other words, not only the offering of the goat by fire, but also the eating of a portion by the priests was part of the atonement process. Now that we've studied the role of priests in the sacrifice, we can see the point Paul is making. Look again at Paul's statement, 1 Corinthians 10:18. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Just as the priests were sharers in the sacrifice made on the altar of burnt offering, Paul is saying that you and I, as we eat of the Lord's Supper, become sharers in the offering of Christ on the cross for our sins. This is a very profound thought indeed. If it is too mystical for your logical, rational brain, give it time. Meditate on this passage and its reference to the Old Testament sacrifice. Discussion question 3. In what way did the priests participate in the altar by eating the Old Testament sacrifices? How does Paul connect this observation with our participation with Christ's sacrifice? You know, there is a sense that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we become participants in the Christian altar of sacrifice, that is, the cross. When we partake, we connect with the sacrifice and become sharers in it, in Him, in Christ's sacrifice for us. During the Reformation, people argued about whether or not the real presence was in the sacrament. Whether or not that is the case, there is a real connection to Christ and His sacrifice in the Lord's Supper. Yes, the Lord's table is a memorial meal that looks back to Christ's sacrifice, but it is more. It is a meal that connects us now to Christ's sacrifice for us. We become participants, sharers, in a sense. There's one reason that the Lord's Supper is called communion in the King James Version. This word describes the real but mystical connection that the Lord's Supper provides between us and Christ. In eating and drinking, we can commune with Him and He with us. When I partake, I become afresh a sharer in Christ's sacrifice. I indicate my stake, my share in the sacrifice by eating of the symbolic portion in the Lord's Supper. This is not just an outward form. but a symbol with great power in it, connecting you and me directly to Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Discussion question 4. What are the implications for you personally when you realize that in the Lord's Supper you are becoming a sharer in the sacrifice of the cross? How does that affect you? How does it change your understanding of the Lord's Supper? Let's pray. Father, teach us what it means to have communion with Christ and His sacrifice for our sins. Open a door to fuller communion with You and Your Son through the Holy Spirit. We long to draw closer to You and to feel Your presence. We long to know You better. Open our understanding. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.